Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to gather together with like-minded believers. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. Give us wisdom and discernment. Thank you, Lord, for bringing back the times of the hidden manna and all that that entails. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in the world. And I know, Lord, that we have Psalm 91 Passover upon us. We thank you, Father, for covering us with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Father, that tonight we're going to have an awesome time. Nobody's going to have any communications problems. That everybody's going to participate. And Father, we thank you for all that is accomplished tonight. We ask that your Spirit lead us, guide us into all the things that we have to cover tonight, that you want us to cover tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord, let us teach us, Lord, how to walk in the Spirit 24/7. And I praise you and I glorify you for doing that, Lord. We thank you for being the light in our life, which lights us up as well. And Father God, we just praise you and we glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that you've given us that are in operation in every one of us. And I praise you and glorify you, Lord, that we don't put any restrictions on what you can and can't do. Because we know that anything is possible when you're in the makings. We're not going to put you in a box. And Lord, we thank you that tonight the revelations will come forth, will verify themselves by scripture and scripture, Lord. And we praise you and we glorify you for all that's accomplished. We thank you for this open heaven that we have, Father, and the faith that you've given each and every one of us to believe that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to get it. And I thank you for that, Father. Because we all have bold and wonderful faith that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for all you're going to accomplish tonight, this night, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, I thank you for blessing Patrick while he goes to take care of business with his son's stuff. And Lord, we plead the blood over him that he'll get the package and come home and rejoin us. And we praise you and thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for placing it in everybody's heart that you want on here tonight to be here. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Bless each and every one of us, Lord, tonight as we speak about the word, Lord. Speak about the end times. And speak about everything that you want us to speak about. Thank you, Father, for being with us. Set a watch before our lips, Lord. To speak only as an oracle of you. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you harness our tongue when it needs to be. In Jesus' name. I know you've given me that instruction in times past. And I thank you, Father, for helping me do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I want to pray. Father God, I lift up the Timberchucks, and I thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in that household. I thank you for joy, peace, and love in that household. And I thank you, Lord, for divine health. And I thank you, Father, that Melina's going to walk through this pregnancy with your help. And when you're helping, Lord, there's no more pain. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Alina and David and all the girls, in Jesus' name. Amen. And the one to come, too. Amen. All right, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I want y'all to agree with me for Fudgy. She's been having to go outside to the bathroom a lot today. I don't know if she ate something outside or whatever, but we just command this to stop. She is healed. She's fixed and she's healthy. And She's not going to have any accidents in the house. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Fudge, you be healed and whole in Jesus' name. All right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Or was that Merle you was talking about? I'm just asking. I don't know. Go ahead, Benita.
Merle's probably not into roadkill anyway. I just like you all to agree with me that Frank is healed. We believe it. We know it. He this dizziness that he's having right now, we command it to go. And he's going to be able to get up and walk around and not fall down all the time. We just command it gone. There's no more infirmity in him. And he's going in for back surgery on Friday again. So, Lord, just, Lord, you know what's going on. And we're just going to just praise you, Lord, in all these trials. And we thank you for these trials. And we thank you for the work you're doing in us. And we just praise your holy name. Amen.
Amen. We bind up that dizziness, command it to go from Frank right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that he is completely healed and whole by the stripes of Jesus. And we ain't going to accept nothing less than that. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I was, I was up on Operation Disclosure, and I was saying on there that Macron is going to be announcing war against Russia for NATO on Thursday. So, Lord, I thank you for stopping this nonsense, unless you got plans for it, Lord. We ask that you minimize it if you do, and we praise you for that, Father. And also, there's a pestilence coming. If the Lord says you can't pray it down, it's going to be something that's of him. But the deep state's the one that's going to be doing it. I don't know when that's going to be. I think it's going to be about time that the man, after the man child has been anointed. So, be sure, everybody just be sure to prepare yourself for in holiness, you know, and walk in holiness. Keep prayed up, as they say. All right, anyone else want to pray? Yeah, Julie.
I just have a question real quick on what you just said. This pestilence that they say is coming and you can't pray it down. Is this something that's going to require... Can you guys hear me okay?
I can now.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The pestilence, you say the plague is coming. Is this something we can't pray down, but is it something that's going to require, they're going to push out more vaccines for it, that kind of thing?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Are they just all saying I know it's a plague?
Yeah, all I know is that David asked the Lord if we could pray it down. And he said no. He said you can't pray it down. And he didn't ask him if we could pray that he would save the elect, but anyway, it's this is going to be after the man-child anointing. So, yeah, Missy. So just listen. What I do, I pray the blood of Jesus over everything. Just pray the blood of Jesus over yourself and over everything. you know. Go out. We pray the blood of Jesus over the mountain. We tell the angels, keep the varmints off the mountain. That's imputed human varmints too. So, yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Well, if these pieces of the puzzle go together, Dana Coverstone had a dream a year ago that he shared. Let me show you something is what it's called. And David shared that. And in his dream, the timing of this was late summer, early fall. And then I remember Brandon from Last Days YouTube channel said that there was he had a dream or whatever, and that he said there was no vaccine for it. If this is the same thing.
Okay. Well, there is too. There is vaccine against it.
Really bad.
Yeah, we have vaccine against it.
Right, we do. But man's vaccine. There isn't going to be any man's vaccine.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't trust it anyway if it did come out with one. All right, anyone else? How many of you would get a vaccine if I offered it? Raise your hand. People dying from, billions of people dying from that other one. I saw a headline the other day that former Japanese minister, prime minister, apologized to the people for requesting that they take the vaccine because he finally found out that it was dangerous. Killed a bunch of his people. Yeah, that's pretty good on his part that he admitted that they were doing that. All right, anyone else? That was on it might have been on Breitbart. I think that's where it was. I could be mistaken. It could have been on Breitbart. Y'all know that's a news, conservative news station. Breitbart is the one you saw it on Telegram. Well, it could have been on Telegram also. Yeah. So apparently it's all over. All right, anyone else? Is Joe on here? Joe's not on here yet, is he? I'm wondering what they finally determined in South Africa after the election. All right. I do have in my possession a song for tonight. If y'all would like to hear a good praise and worship song, this is another one that you have to get out your chair. All right, here we go. You should know the words to this one.
I'm gonna go. every praise is to our God. Y'all know how we do it. Take it up. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise is to our God. I want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise, every praise is to our God. Let's take it up one more time. Every praise, come on everybody. Every word of worship with one accord.
Thank you, Lord. That's a different song. I still love that song. That's a good praise and worship song. Gets you up out your chair and gets you praising God. Mm-hmm. All right. No, I don't either. I don't either. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share? Yeah, Julie.
I have just a quick testimony. Probably for about the last good year or so, I've had a trial with my beautiful, perfect HP computer laptop where it has been having a, we'll just call it, what I believe is probably a cooling fan issue. I would get these pop-up warnings. Your cooling fan is not working properly, blah, 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 blah. You can, you know, hit enter. You're at risk of overheating your computer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, you're not. That's not going to happen. So I just kept believing my faith that God healed it. And it would just make terrible noises. So I'll just say that. But I kept standing in faith and kept casting down what I was hearing and just kept thanking and praising God for fixing it. And it's not giving me any trouble. Every now and then it starts to make a little noise. And I said, thank you, Lord. My computer still runs like new and there is nothing coming out of that computer except music and stuff coming out of my speakers that's supposed to be, but there's no noise.
Praise God.
God's faithful. He can do anything. He can do anything. Praise the Lord.
You know, Julie, I had that same thing pop up on my computer last week when I turned it on. Big blue box came up and said my cooling fan wasn't working correctly. Get it fixed or something like that. You know, it's going to just tear up if you don't get it fixed. I said, no, I would be cut in the name of Jesus. I ain't never seen it since. So praise God. We both got completely good HPs.
Amen. They work run perfectly. Thank you, Lord. They're going to keep running.
Amen. That's exactly right. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, Benita.
I have a praise report. We were going up on Friday to the Jeep invasion and our van, everything was working except then all of a sudden the heater control valve went bad and we got a new valve, but the hoses, we didn't think to get the hoses that go to it. And so everything was closed and we're like, what are we going to do? We don't have the right hoses and it takes a lot of pressure. Well, and we started praying and brainstorming and we're like, all right, Lord, what are we going to do? We're like, oh yeah, we have a car in the back that we don't need. We can go get a hose off of that maybe. So went back there, cut off a hose, put it on there and everything was fine. Then one other hose was fitted and we didn't have that. And that wasn't on that car. We're like, wait, we have another car back there. It's like we got a junkyard in our backyard. But praise the Lord, we had everything we needed. And my daughter, Frank wasn't up to doing it all. So my daughter just got in there, took all these hoses off and connected them back up and she got it running. We got it going and we were able to go on our trip. So he just gave her the wisdom and gave us the right ideas to look in the right places. And boy, that van's just always been so much fun. You know, it's always a challenge, but it got us there and back and praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah, you're right, Anna. She'd fit right in here in Tennessee with all them junk cars around, you know. Praise God. Kind of like ours up here. Got one that ain't working. God fixing it. All right, anyone else? All right. Anybody got anything they want to talk about? You know, we talked about Joe, go ahead.
Sorry, before we get onto a topic, I'm a bit late. I got some few things that I have to talk to the Lord too, and I've got some time with him. But now I have to make a confession. I'll try to be short. Yesterday morning, Lord gave me a vision of what to do today. And I was excited about it when I started my Bible study with him. And he showed me a lot of things, and I get excited about it and all this. And then I have to do something, give some clothes to guys. Michael will know about it, and I will give it them. So I finish my stuff. So the more I'm almost finished with my study with the Lord, the more excited I get, more well, I call it excited. I'm not sure how to explain it. But when I'm finished there and I give him some clothes and I talk to him, and on my way back, it's everything just lead to another. And I met the guy and I give some shoes away, and it's a lot of things happening. It's too much to try to explain. But the end of the day is Lord showed me, I got too excited over things and not focusing. So in other words, he gave me a vision last night or this morning of riding on with high speed on a highway, and then another one he showed me riding on a bike without touching the handles. All of that showing me is I did get excited about everything, but not focusing, not resting, not at peace on what I'm doing. So in other words, I was not in the rest. So I thought it was a good day, but the Lord told me it was not. It was just the opposite. It's just it was a bad day for me. So I confess I didn't listen. What I thought was good, but Lord says, no, that's not good. You have to listen. You have to wait. You have to listen to me to talk to you on each thing, not get excited. If you get excited, just stop everything and wait for me. And so I stopped and pray about it, and I talked a lot. He showed me quite a few visions of my not listening. And one guy gave some clothes away. He showed me it was a bad guy he showed me a black hand of a guy. And that was something not good about this guy. He said thanks to me for the clothes, but the Lord showed me the black hands. In other words, what I asked the Lord to, what does it mean? And he showed me later, I heard the demon possessed or demon something. So I confessed that and I pray about it. So I confessed that before you all. So I got a bad day. It was really not a bad day, a worse day. Quite a few days. So I confessed that, and I asked Michael if you just want to agree with me in prayer. I bind everything of that black hand of that guy. It wasn't a black guy, it was a white guy, but the Lord showed me in a vision it was a black hand. So if you mind.
No, if I don't mind, but I got to understand what you said. I understand most of it, but what about the black hand or whatever that is? Yeah, Judy.
I think what Joe was saying is like it was good that the Lord was showing him it was his works were dark, like the black hand would have been, you know, his works weren't right. Is that right, Joe?
Yeah, in the flesh. Yeah, I got that. That's one part. But the guy, I shook the hand. The vision the Lord gave me was also a black but needs to be washed in a bathtub. It's a black hand. But when I asked him, what's this? My day was that black. But I already confessed about my works. What is the main thing about that black hand? The Lord showed me the guy I shook the hand with is not right. The guy I shook it, in other words, there's something demons with him.
Okay.
You got that part, Julie?
Yeah.
Did you say shake hands? You shook hands with him?
Yeah, with one guy, and the Lord showed me that was a guy. It's something with demons.
Okay.
I just want,
yeah, we can pray.
Michael, of everybody to pray. Yeah.
My Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that Joe is covered by the blood of Jesus. We command any demon that tried to enter in with that handshake into Joe, I command you to go from him right now in Jesus' name. You're not invited in that holy temple ground in Jesus' name. He is a part of the body, part of the holy body, and you're not invited. So you get from him. If you're trying to attach yourself on him, I command you to go from him right now in Jesus' name, and I break all your power off of him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, he is free of any kind of demonic activity against him in Jesus' name. And we just plead the blood of Jesus all over him right now in Jesus' name. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
I guess what was coming to me is where you said you were you shook hands with the black hand or whatever it was like, and the Lordship, it was like you were in agreement with. So I just pray that you help Joe just renounce and renounce all that agreement with demonic influences, whatever that was. He falls out of agreement with whatever that was, and he renounced it. And I just thank you, Lord, that that's all broken off of him. You know, we all make mistakes, and I thank you, Lord, that you show us these things, and that's your grace. Thank you, Father, so much.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe he's free. Does everybody believe he's free? No more problems. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for doing this work in Joe. We ask, Father, that you continue the work in him to be led by your Spirit with everything. And I ask that for everybody here, too, Lord, that you would lead us all by the Spirit and teach us how to do that, Lord. And we know that we have to be always cognizant that you're ever with us and that we need to ask you for everything, just like Jesus did. Jesus said, I don't do nothing unless I ask the Father. And that's the way we ought to be. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Place it in us, Lord, to not to even leave the house without asking you if it's where you want, what you want us to do. And I thank you, Father, for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else?
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, Joe. Be whole, brother. Delivered. Thank you, Jesus. He's set free. Well, that raises the question that I asked you this afternoon about being led by the Spirit. What is it to be led by the Spirit? Now, I ought to be seeing a dozen hands up here already. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? Yeah, Missy.
I remember David saying in Bible study not too long ago, I don't know if it was a newer one or older one, I don't know, but he said just obeying the word, just walking in the word, you know, just being obedient to the word.
Walking according to the Spirit is being in the Word.
You know, being obedient to the Word.
Okay.
I remember him saying something pretty simple like that.
Is that all there is to it? Is just being obedient to the Word? Or is there a little more to it? I'm going to start pointing out people. Benjamin, I can't see you because half of you is gone. There you go. Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I'm sort of reminded in that chapter 8 of Romans, you know, the heirs with Christ. You can start off in verse 1. For there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, verse 4. That the ordinances of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And then I think later on it says, those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And we know that the sons of God are the ones that walk by faith. These are the ones that are not only walking by faith, but they're having the manifestations of the gifts. And they're walking in, well, their fullness, whether it's 30, 60, or 100-fold. It's kind of hard to describe. Maybe it's just my unlearnedness. But I'm at a loss for words, so maybe someone else can continue on from that.
Okay. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Isn't it like in walking like Christ walked, having your mind stayed on the things that are above, the heavenly things, like Ben was saying, but you set your mind on the things that are the spiritual things, like all you want is Jesus, right? All you want to do is be like Jesus, and you're wanting to your thoughts, your meditation, how you respond. It's letting the word change you. Like Missy was saying, it's obedience to the word. It's letting the word change you as you spend time, listening to teachings, listening to the Bible, reading the Bible. Anyhow, it's what Ben was saying, the mind of the flesh is worldly, So it's like the opposite, Anyhow, that's kind of what was coming to me. Being led of the Spirit, you just want to walk like Jesus and be like him and follow the examples you have in the Bible of Jesus and the disciples. And other godly people,
Amen. That's good. Yeah. Let me read Galatians 5, and I'm gonna read. I'll start at 5:16 and go through 25. I'm sorry. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, if you're walking by the Spirit, you've got your mind on Jesus all the time, don't you? You're constantly looking unto Jesus because he's here. He is our example. He is our example. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary, the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envy, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. Here's the one I was getting to. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk. Now that means a lot right there. What does it mean if we live by the Spirit? By the Spirit, let us also walk. Yeah, Missy.
Not doing what we want.
Dying
to self, you know. A lot of Sunday's Bible study was really good. I mean, it really that was really good. I think it was very helpful to help you recognize when you're in yourself, in your flesh or whatever. And I recently read, I think it was chapter 9 in Hidden Manna about your imagination. And it was saying about imagining, can you imagine yourself being Jesus, basically looking in the mirror? You know, it's kind of like, he didn't say this, but it's kind of like that saying that went around, which is so true. What would Jesus do? You know? just imagining yourself as Jesus, because he is in you. And you know, the reality of it is, because that really got me excited, that between what David shared and what I read in that, it just really spurred me, you know. I lost my train of thought there. Help me, Lord. it's like... You know, I've been crucified with Christ, and I don't live anymore, but he lives in me. And I'm dead unto sin, alive unto God. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey the lust thereof. It's just having such an awareness that it's Jesus that lives in you, and you don't live. You are dead. You know? And that's what the Lord showed was showing me about it, just having this awareness that I am dead, and I don't live anymore. I was crucified with Christ, you know? And I think that really helps a lot to walk in the Spirit.
Amen. Okay, Joe. Yeah, thank you, Missy. Go ahead, Joe.
Michael, when you prayed earlier for me, you mentioned Jesus was always talking to the Father. He was always in contact. He's not doing any of his will. I think one scripture he says, he only doing what the Father says, not what he's doing, doing what the Father says. We all should be the same, as pray about everything. Before you, as you mentioned earlier as well for me, as before you go out, before you do something, pray about it. Is that what the Lord wants you to do? Because we were bought with a very, very, very big price, and we are not our own. We are servants of righteousness. We only should be led by a Spirit by listening and asking the whole time, what does the Lord want us to do?
Amen. I'm glad you brought that up. I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. It's just a matter of instituting it, you know. I think the Lord wants us to walk just like Jesus did, and that's what he said. And when Joe was talking about, ask the Lord, Lord, is this what do you want me to do today? And the Lord will tell you. You got to listen. You got to sit down and listen. What he wants. Or if you're walking, you say, Lord, I want to do this. Is this something you want me to do? Or if somebody comes up, like Job had come up to him, you know, Lord, who is this guy? And if he says, you know, shy away from him. And I believe we're going to get to the point, those that are running after the Lord with all your heart, we're going to get to the point to where you're going to be hearing the Lord talk to you as you ask these questions as you're walking. How many of you pray when you're walking? Say, like you're going downtown, you're going to Walmart or something. How many of you pray in the Spirit? Yeah, I do that myself. I pray in the Spirit a lot. And that connects you with the spirit realm that the Lord wants you in. And I believe that at some point in time, as we practice these things that he's showing us, that we'll be able to hear his voice, which he wants us to do in these last days, is to listen for him, like Joe was talking about, in everything. The Lord said, like Joe said, he said, I don't do anything unless I do what the Father tells me. And that's where he wants us, in my estimation. Well, I know he does. That's what the Word says. Anybody else? I'd like to, how many of you know that you don't have to conjure Jesus up? He's right there with you all the time. He's with you all the time. And he told me here the other day, he asked me a question. He says, I enjoy it when you come and talk to me, but you don't do it very often. You know, and I said, uh-oh, that ain't good. So I've decided to set aside a time during the day that I can do that. And sometimes it's very taxing, as busy as we get sometimes. But I think he wants us to do that all the time, at least showing some consideration that he is above everything else that's happening, you know. Just what I got from what he was talking with me about. So it would be nice if I could just get up in the morning and spend about an hour with him, but I wake up too late sometimes, and I get up too late sometimes. But I think that would be something for everyone to do, my opinion. But whenever you can get alone with the Lord, ask him those questions. Lord, what is it you want me to do today? What is it you want me to study today? I'm going to get in the Word today. Lord, what you want me to study? I'm going on a walk today. You don't go? You know, things like that. Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, my daughter, she wanted me to read a book today that she has. It's not a Christian book, and it's a different religion book, but they talk a lot about community service and going out and doing things for your community. And being in the world as it is now and being a part of the world as it is now. And I'm like, oh, okay, no, that's not for me. But she, you know, her, where she's going is she wants to do more to help people in the community and be a part of the community. And I was just trying to, help her understand. I don't know what I was trying to tell her. I was trying to figure out what to say to her, I guess. I wasn't sure what to say because, you know, when you look at Jesus, he healed the sick and raised the dead and did those kind of things, you know. He preached the good news. He, you know, sent the 70 out to, tell the good news and to tell the people to repent and believe. And so I guess, is that something that we should be pursuing more, to go out and help in the community? I mean, that is a way of sharing the good news by helping in the community, but I don't know. I think it's like what you were saying, Michael. You have to ask the Lord and be led of the Lord if that's what he wants you to do. It's not everybody's gift. It's not everybody's calling. I mean, yeah, we should always be doing good good things and helping people out. But like I was telling her in Acts, you know, the group of Christians in Acts, the people that were in the way there, they all sacrificed everything they had to help each other out, to support each other, to help the brethren. But, you know, so there's that, and then there's us having to go out and plant the seed and bring people into the kingdom also. So I don't know where I'm going with it. I just wasn't, I don't know if I really had a good answer for on that, but.
Yeah. Well, like we said before, like you said too, we need to ask the Lord if that's what he wants to do. I remember the story about this shopkeeper down in Australia, I believe it was, that every day he'd get out there and hand out tracts when he wasn't busy. And never heard anything back from people. He just handed out tracts. He's handed out a bunch of them. And there was a guy years and years later that had run across some famous preachers that talked about this little shopkeeper down in Australia that had given them gave them a tract about Jesus, and that changed their life. Changed their life. And every one of them, he said there was a bunch of them that were well known throughout the world that this little shopkeeper had given them. People that would come into Australia and they'd go by the shop and he'd give them a tract. And, they, you know, they're from all countries, all kinds of countries. And he found out years later that some of the most well-known preachers in the world had come to Jesus because of his tribe. So, yeah, whatever the Lord leads you to do, that's what you do, because, you know, that's what that's what the Lord led this man to do. And he was very faithful with it. He'd do it every day, every day, every day. And he never knew if anybody got saved or not until this young man came and told him about hearing about all these preachers' stories about this shopkeeper down in Australia. And that's when he went and looked for him. But yeah, whatever the Lord wants you to do. I think to be led by the Spirit, we need to constantly be looking to Jesus, right? I think we need to constantly be looking to him. And then every situation, Lord, what is it you want me to do in this situation here? I think that's something we need to start asking also. Lord, do you want me to pray for this person? What is your, you know, whatever you come up into, ask the Lord. Okay, Debbie.
Okay, hello. I was just thinking of when Vinny was saying, what did Jesus do? And right away, what I thought right away when she asked that, said that, was that, well, he prayed. He prayed a lot. And so he was led by the Father because he prayed so much. He did the Lord what told him to do. It wasn't his own idea to, I'm going to win the multitudes. I'm going to heal all these sick people. You know, each thing, he must have been told by the Lord what to do. And so I was thinking that, and I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to be more in prayer. I mean, more in prayer and be led by the Spirit, be led by him, because through prayer with him.
Amen. So. Prayer? That's talking to God, isn't it? That's talking to God. Amen. You're right. That's what we've been talking about. Yeah, thank you, Father. We want to be just like Jesus, and Jesus said, I don't do nothing unless I ask the Father. Yeah, go ahead, Anna.
A verse that came to my mind about what Vanita was talking about philanthropy or whatever we call it, was when Jesus said to the woman who gave him the alabaster cruse of oil, and he said, the poor you always have with you, but me you don't have always. And I was thinking, Jesus comes even before, you know, good works. But I also wanted to say, Michael, going back to what you said a minute ago about spending time with the Lord. When we were kids, we'd come complaining to mom sometimes. We're bored, you know. And she'd say, well, you should go spend some time in prayer or go read your Bible. No, we don't want to do that. We want something to do, you know. And my mom would say, she'd say, if God lived next door, don't you guys think you'd be down there all the time? You know, you can't just neglect him because you can't see him. You know, imagine how much time you'd spend if he was, you know, at his house, if he lived next door. And that always stuck with me that, like, man, it's so true. If God was a person that we could see and touch, you know, we'd invite him over every day. We want him to live in our house, you know, we'd want to live in his house. And, you know, if your spouse or your children or whatever, if someone doesn't give you time that you would like to have from them, you don't feel like they love you. And the Lord has brought that to my attention different times over the years. You know, imagine how I feel then, you know, and, just, you know, of course, just don't want to make the Lord feel that way. We want the Lord to know that we love him and he's first. So that's all. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's right. Yeah, just think about how he feels when I ignore him, you know. That's a good word. Yeah. Coming back to Amen. Glory to God. All right, anyone else? You know what it takes to listen and hear God or to even see God? Somebody brought it up a while ago. It's your imagination. That's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. Your imagination. Because your imagination is connected to your spirit. Yeah. Miss my time with you. With you, Lord, with you. All right. Anyone else? Or walking in the spirit, talking in the spirit. Can you imagine what our life would be like if we had already been doing this, asking the Lord, well, Lord, I need to go get some gas for the truck. Or is that okay? Well, yeah, mind if I go along? Sure, come on. Just act like he's with you all the time. And you'll start seeing him. We see him at the meetings a lot. We see the Lord at the meetings a lot. It seemed like to me over there as he pops up between Elena and David over there. Comes out right in there. Yeah. Yeah, he may be right there with you, David. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Dave is playing the bass over there, and Alina's just across the room from him, just a little ways from him. Amen. Then last night, I saw a bunch of angels in there. There's a bunch of angels in there when it first started. It's just plumb full of angels. I don't know what them stirrups do over there. I bet they pray a little bit. I bet there's some praying going on. I know those kids do. Yeah, Vanita.
This is kind of related, but I've been kind of looking into the called and the elect a little bit and studying on that. And so, you know, I know that not all the called are elect, but all of the elect are called. So my question was, the called that are not elect, they had at one point received the Spirit of Christ. They had, their nature had been changed. And if I'm wrong, let me know. But then they did not, overcome or stay steadfast in their faith. and they lost that position. So when that happens, the question I had was, like, our spirit, when we're born again, we have the spirit of Christ. So if they have fallen away, does the spirit of Christ leave them then? It must, right?
Yeah. If you're in sin, who are you serving?
Not the right master.
No. But he's given us. He's given
us. But that's
us,
in the, like, that.
Yeah, he's given us confessions, you know, to confess your sins, and you'll be sanctified right then. You confess your sins one to another, you're sanctified by faith. And by the way, Sunil, what does it take to be sanctified? Is F-A-I-T-H, faith. That's all. Confessing your sins and believing that it's done. Yeah, go ahead, Benita. You may have something else.
No, just from what you said, I know in one of David's teaching, he talks about when you get the spirit of Christ, that's like the Holy of Holies. And that's your spirit, and then there's your soul that is. So the soul is separate from the spirit. So the spirit, when you receive Christ, when you fall away, that you must go back to the carnal nature then at that point.
When you sin, it's just like when Adam and Eve sinned. When they sinned, they were completely out of touch with God at that moment. When you sin, you're not with God anymore. You're serving the devil. But when you confess your sin, just as soon as you confess your sin and ask the Lord to forgive you, you're sanctified right then. And that's what you have to believe. And it's faith that does it. David teaches on that a lot. Yeah, so, go ahead. Did you have another question, Benita? Okay. All right, go ahead, Andrew.
What about the prodigal son? Took him a while to come to his senses. But the Lord was there with him after a while. It could happen that way too. And what about the sheep? He left the 99 to go find the one that drifted away. So that's another one. Yeah. The Lord is very gracious and very loving and kind. Thank God.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? All right. What was the question we had last week about the hidden manna, about the man-child ministry and the bride? Yeah, Ben.
I thought it was about the two witnesses and the latter rain.
Okay, the two witnesses and the latter rain, huh?
I think I remember that those were the topics of discussion.
Okay. What was the question
were
going to
talk
about
it.
Who is the two witnesses?
Was I believe so.
Okay.
That was the question.
Yeah, okay. The two witnesses, if you read and study Hidden Manna, you understand that all the end time individuals that you read about are corporate entities. The two witnesses are corporate entities that go out two by two from the Man-Child. Disciples. They're disciples. He sends them out just like Jesus did. Two by two. As a witness. You know, you have to have two to witness. And that's what David talks about in Hidden Mountain. Best of my recollection. And I just read a little bit about that today. And that's what the two witnesses are. Now, what was the other one? They're actually a corporate entity all over the world that goes out two by two as disciples, the elect, going out and healing the sick, raising the dead, getting the gospel out, bringing people into the kingdom. Joe, go ahead.
I think the question was started by Sunil. He was, in his chat, he was writing, he says it was the law and the prophets. And when you answered, no, it's something else. That started the question. But I would just add on the two witnesses. It is that the law and the prophets, but it's the anointing of Moses and the anointing of Elijah. That's the two witnesses at the last time. We're all going to be raised up in the tribulation. That's what I was thinking about. But Sunil was starting it. I think maybe he's asked a question about it. We can just maybe ask him.
Yeah, Sunil.
Thank you.
Yeah, Debbie. I will here in a minute. He's got Romans 8, 9, and 10, and then 13. What's that about, Sunil? Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, I don't remember what was spoken. I remember Thursday you mentioned, so let's read chapter 11 of Hidden Manna for Tuesday. So I did.
Chapter 11?
Not all of it, but. You said read chapter. Let's read chapter 11 of Hidden Manna.
Okay, yeah. Well, I've slept since then. So
I thought we were going to discuss chapter 11. Okay. I read to 219. It starts on page.
I'm scared.
Starts on page 203 when I read till 219. Where it starts talking about the 10 continental divisions. Or throws a map there about them. Anyway, just remember you said that.
What's chapter 11 about?
What was set, beast, covenant, and abomination. So I don't remember what was said that caused you to say read chapter 11. Maybe you thought it was in this chapter, whatever was being talked about. I don't know what it was.
Okay. Well, we'll get it all squared away here directly. Yeah, Julie, did you have something?
Oh, just it was coming to my mind, something how I remembered this is Revelation chapter 11 is about the two witnesses. So I don't know, maybe that's where that chapter came from, but I don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah, I believe it.
Maybe.
I don't remember what it was, but if it's the two witnesses are the disciples going out two by two that the Man-Child sends out all over the world. And as David teaches, he believes that there's going to be 144,000 Man-Childs across the world, which is actually, if you think about it, that's not very many. When you're looking at how many billions and billions and billions of people there are. Yeah, Ben?
I was reading through Hidden Manna, chapter 9, where it talks about the two witnesses. And it kind of really... I don't want to say I dumbed it down, but I made it a lot more simple. Basically, the latter rain is a type and shadow of the former rain. So Jesus was the Man-Child of the former rain, and then he basically gave that former rain to his sort of two witnesses that went out two by two, his 12 disciples. And then this man-child as a type of shadow is going to give out, is going to be anointed with the latter rain. But then later on, during the last 3.5 years of tribulation, he's going to pour out the latter rain to his 2 witness, 12 disciple, apostles that he sort of anointed during his ministry, the first 3.5 years of Revelation. So if you see the type and shadow of the Gospels and Acts, you'll see how the latter rain will happen, how the former rain. Is this coming out proper, or am I sounding ridiculous?
No, I did catch some of it, but so far you sound okay. Did you say the latter rain wouldn't come until the second half of the tribulation?
No, because the man-child will have the latter rain anointing during his 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Correct? And then the last 3.5 years is when the 2 witnesses come, and that's that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wished I'd have gotten back into that hidden manna a lot better than I have. But if I'm not mistaken, the 2 witnesses go out even at the first 3.5 years too. They go out. He sends them out all during the 7 years of tribulation. The latter rain anointing, my understanding, it happens as the man-child is anointed. He comes back and gives out the latter rain anointing also. It's just as somebody said a while ago, it's just an outpouring of the former rain plus the latter rain, which is pretty good. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And I apologize for not getting into it, but I've been extremely busy since last Tuesday. Yeah, Vanini.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about Joel 2:28, about the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh. And I don't know. I think that question was answered. Sunil was wondering where in Revelation the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. But as I was studying that, I was thinking about, the Holy Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. It's not all at one time. And I'm just asking this is a question. I don't think it's all at one time. It's being poured out now. It's going to be poured out in a greater way for the man-child ministry. And then the latter rain. So that, you know, with the man-child to the bride to the rest of all flesh. So it's not all at one time. It's sequential, kind of. It gets poured out over a period of time. Is that, I don't know, make any sense?
Not really. I'm not understanding what you said. Before the man-child, the latter rain is poured out, did you say? A portion of it? That's the former rain.
Yes, exactly. We've got the former rain now, and we do have the Holy Spirit poured out on us in the former rain, but then with the man-child, the latter rain pouring out of the Holy Spirit starts with the man-child and moves on, just like it did in Jesus' day, from Jesus to the disciples to the rest of the body.
Yeah. That's what it does. That's what I believe it does. Now, how many of you know? And I know this sounds kind of contrary to what we're talking about, but there are people already experiencing things that you never even dreamed of before. All you got to do is get on YouTube and find out what's going on in the spiritual realm. And it's a lot of stuff that you'd never dream of going on out there that God's doing. He's showing up in places like Muslim camps and things like that. God is. There's all kinds of things that he's done through his people also. I've heard about people being translated in the middle of a town. The young boy that had died, and he just walked over there and said, can I pray for him? And these were all Catholics. And he said, no. What are you doing? He's dead. And he didn't pay attention to him. He just reached down and he said, you come back in the name of Jesus. And the boy's eyes opened up. Stuff like that going on all over the world. Stuff that you want to see during the tribulation, but is already going on. I believe that there's going to be an anointing, a latter-day anointing, latter-day rain anointing that's going to be on God's people, and it's going to bring them into that realm that we've been talking about tonight. Bring them into that realm to where you're listening to God in everything that you do. I believe that. I believe that's going to be part of the latter-day rain. But the power is going to be instantaneous rather than you have to wait on it. Because there's a revival he wants to, that's going to be started, and a lot of people are going to come into the kingdom, and he's not going to wait, you know, they're not going to have to wait around to get healed, brought back to life, whatever. Whatever it is. But these people are going to be led by the Spirit of God. I believe that. I believe that we're going to see some things. I believe we can enter into a lot of that now if we just give up, like Missy was talking about, give up the flesh. Give up the flesh. Leave the flesh behind. And he's making that more plain to me every day. When we give up, when I give up Michael, guess who's there? Jesus. That's right. Yeah, Andrew. I started to call you Ben, but I'm glad I didn't.
Has anyone ever read Daniel 7:26 and 27? It's a really, really good piece. You know, it's mentioned in Sovereign God, chapter 11. I guess I read the wrong chapter 11, but I got some pretty good stuff there. Anyways, David expressed something there about this verse. The chapter 11, by the way, is the last Adam restored our dominion. And we know that this dominion is progressive. So, as it's John 3:16.
What was that, Daniel? Daniel 6 and 7?
Daniel 7, 26 and 27. Yeah. And it says there, but the judgment shall be set, and they shall take away, and those are the end time saints, his dominion. Of course, you got to read some previous verses for this. To consume and to destroy it unto the end. And of course, there are some people who go all the way to the end and go up alive, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of his saints. Now, he's talking about saints in our day. Mm-hmm. And of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You know, you get an everlasting kingdom for an everlasting word and an everlasting life. So, you know, the everlasting word gave you you got called some day ago, and you got an everlasting life. Yeah. And of the saints and the Most High, His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Even the last dominion that we overcome, which is death, so we know those verses too. Anyway, it's a pretty interesting thing that, like Michael was just saying, you can start doing this at any time. You see things where you want exposed. You see things where you want justice. You see things where you want order. But you also want the Lord to bring forth love and grace and mercy upon people and even pity. So I'm just hinting on how you vote for things, but these things you have to keep in mind that the Lord's going to do these things for you. You know, how he's going to do this in Daniel 7, 26 and 27, if you want a nice New Testament verse, try out James 5 and 7. Because that's what he's going to do. And James 5 and 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." Now, these brethren are brethren. You know, he's in James already. This is after the cross. So they're brethren. You know, sometimes, you know, the people don't know really who they are. And we can wander from our positions. And we want to get back into the position. And I failed quite a bit at that. So I'm pretty good at that, so I'm not supposed to do that anymore. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the presence of the Lord." But how can you be waiting for the presence of the Lord when they're already brethren? So is it a trick question here? "Lo, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until ye receive the early and the latter rain." So can you see how Dan 7, 26 and 27 collate with this apostle James is talking about? And you know, James was taken out pretty early. I'm pretty sure y'all read James, all five chapters. The first chapter is a test. The second chapter, you know, they always talk about faith without works is dead. And the third chapter is you gotta have a sweet tongue and a blessed tongue. Because if you don't, you're going to do the fourth chapter. I mean, how do you start a fight in the schoolyard? It's right here first, and then you go and fight and make war. And what are you war over? Well, when you're a teenager, it might be that girl over there that you both have a crush on, but let's not go there. But they all have a crush on something in this world, and that's chapter 5. And that's talking about the world trade. It's talking about merchandising in chapter 5. So you can just see how it always fails for a person. And you know, James didn't write too much, but he wrote that letter. We should know that what it says in the beginning, that's been said so many times. You should know it's in chapter 5 of Romans also. But the thing is we're not double-minded. We don't want to go there. We've got to be transformed with the renewing of our minds. And like my son Ben was mentioning, the mind of the flesh. Well, no. You know, like, you don't want that, you know. And you're supposed to be holy anyway, because he got called if you were holy. And we know who that is. That's the Father. He got called if you were holy, so be therefore holy in all your behavior. And, you know, as for this presence, you know that in 2 Peter 2, 3, and 4, they question where the presence is. And that's the last day. So, You want his presence all the time. I mean, do you want the other presence? I don't think so. So you want his presence all the time. And it says that in the of the last days, and that of the last days is not one day. Of the last days, even the way it says it there in 2 Peter, has been around since they goofed up in 3 and 5, which is evolution. So that's been going on since the days of Charles Darwin. So that's 165 years of the last days. Because he prophesied there 1,800 years before it happened, and they were going to change creation. For evolution, evolution's not mentioned there, but 2 Peter 3 and 5 is Genesis 1 and 9. So we're in those last days. And you know, you had lots of really sharp people in those last days. You had Finney, you had Spurgeon, you had Sheffy, you know, but they were right around that time, 1859, when Charles Darwin came up with his idea. And it was of the last days. Maybe that's why every Bible you pick up, Revelation 17, 4, has a one verse that is all in capital letters. Because they knew something back then. And if you examine some of what Sheffy did, because, you know, they did a movie me and my son watched on YouTube, and he knew something was going down wrong. At the end of his ministry, when he was an older guy, people were getting into the church, and you know, he was a Methodist, you know, and but really he wasn't, because he wasn't like with them. And do you have a license to preach? That's a question they want you to, they would ask you. That's, you might not have a license to preach, but you know what right from wrong is. And, you know, so the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you because he's supposed to. You know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. You're not spontaneous in this as much as God is spontaneous over you. To do those things he wants to do. And he can be very spontaneous. And then you say, wow, that went real smoothly. Because it was all him. And when it goes smoothly, you go, how can it can't be like this all the time? And that's not a really good thing. Because that kind of almost sounds like murmuring. But, you know, sometimes we do these things because we have to just grow up. And I got to grow up myself. Praise and glory to God. You're holy. He promised you holiness. You shall be holy because I am holy. He that calleth you is holy. Be ye therefore holy in all your days. Doesn't that sound like a dad? Telling you what to do. And isn't that holy, the Spirit? You know, and don't... Michael just read them all. Do you want love or do you want the other spirit? The first one there. And you know that one's vanity. To say God's word has no meaning. God's word has a lot of meaning. So I'm just a little bit fearful now. So that's a good thing. Because I don't, you know, there was one scene in that movie where Sheffy's just a young lad now. He's in his 20s and he has to do his first preaching. But he was kind of an evangelist and he got all fearful and he ran out of the church. And someone stopped him, you know, you got to come back in here and talk. I called everyone in from the farm, you know, that's the way I figured. And he just gave his testimony of how he came to the Lord. And it's kind of neat. I know it was put out, I think, by the Baptists. I'm not sure. Well, maybe it was put out by the Methodists. I'm not sure. But, you know, if I'm going to watch something, I might as well watch something that's a little more healthy, you know, than what you get when you go outside. You know, that's everywhere you go, everywhere I be, Jesus has to go with that. That's what they sing in the song. If you don't believe me, just go listen to the, what's those kids called again? The people in song. Everywhere I go, everywhere I be, Jesus is mine. So, you know, the other day I went to the bank and they have a TV screen in the bank. They don't have the sound on and they have advertisements about their bank. And this particular bank was advertising a picture of two guys, you know, and how they have to serve everyone. And they had the little rainbow flag in the side. And I went, And I just did my banking and went home, you know. Other people would have flipped out and got upset, you know. And I just said, I remember a day when that was illegal in Canada. Mm-hmm. And they all went to the bank too. So what's the difference? Why do you have to advertise this flag? I don't agree that it should be on church buildings. But, because we have to personally forgive, but we need a government church that shows some governmental unforgiveness. And I'm just reminding you there of your, how shall we die? Well, we die to that. They don't know any better. The banks, we know what the bank's going to do in the future, and they don't know it. So I don't know any bankers. So, my brother took a course in putting books together. I had to do the books for companies. I forget what it's called. And I felt sometimes like saying to him, oh, did they teach you about Revelation? that course you took in university, Revelation 13, what is it, 16? Because that's going to happen. So, anyway, and that's what actually we are being prepared for in our wilderness. And there's nothing to fear. And even if you want to fear, then you better fear God, because that's what he told you. Fear not him that can kill the body and do nothing. Fear him that can kill your body and throw you in hell. So, and plus, how many times have we heard in the media lately? Be selective in your hearing. You know, sometimes husbands have selective hearing with their wives, but you have to be selective hearing all the time. So you got a husband you have to listen. Not an apostate or a harlot, not a son of perdition, a destructive person with his bones. Because if it don't sound sweet, what is it? It's bitter. Simplicity, purity, holiness, love, joy, peace, blessing to all my brethren. I can't bless you, but I know someone who can. And he does it all the time. He said he would not leave you orphan. He's the Almighty God and Father. Thou shalt be on earth as it is in heaven. So now you know what you have to do about this. Daniel 7, 26 and 27. We all have to think. What I might get here when I read these two verses, you might get something different. But we know when we have to be on the same voice of what God, the Lord wants us to pray for. Because in the end, it's a battle and we have to pick up our sword. We have to do what's right. He's expecting something of us, you know? And it's kind of like a dad saying, come on, son. Come on, daughter. Let's get this right. And he wants to even make it so that it's functioning through you. And when he does it through you, it's just so great for him to do it. Or, you know, There's no order. There's no one. You don't want to go on the reverse end of this, the reverse side. So, and you know, you've been so long with God's correction and God's ministry here that you know. So, you know Him. You know what love is for God. If you don't know, I can remind you of some of it, you know. Amos 3:3, can two walk together, lest you agree? And there's another 3:3 in 2 Thessalonians. But He is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. So there's 2 3:3s for you. They collate. And if you mess up, you got to go somewhere else for that. 1 John 1:9. So, you know these things, and you're versed in these things. And you might not have the same verses as me, but you might have some other verses that mean exactly the same thing. And when we share those verses together on how you come to repentance, how you come to this provision, how you come to this deliverance, how you come to this healing, you know, it's provided. It is finished, and it is finished, but, you know, we need to have it manifested too. So there's that patience that you need to have. And, you know, rejoice in tribulation. God has it. You should have a good testimony. I've been waiting for something. I've got something else I'm waiting for. I've been waiting for it. I don't want to mention everything on here that I'm going to ask God that I've already prayed for. My son knows something that I'm waiting for. I just want to work with God. After all, it's going to be you and Him. You know, like, it's nice to have company, brothers and sisters, but, you know, after all, the final thing is going to be you and Him. Whether you stand or fall, but, you know, God has that wonderful verse in Romans 14 where He's able to make him stand. So, after all, you know, it's not you, and you can't commend yourself. It has to be God working through you. But you know all this, so... Praise and glory to God. You know, maybe I was right, you know, or maybe God's sovereignty had me read chapter 11. It's 4 pages of sovereign God when everyone read the other chapter in Hidden Manna, chapter 11. I don't know, you know, like, I thought it had to do with the former and latter rain, the question. And you know, that Sermon on the Mount, where the Mount of Transfiguration, you have all these characters there, and they're all corporate bodies now. Jesus, Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, and John. Well, go read James, Peter, and John. There's not too much writing from them. And we all know Peter loves God a lot. I mean, John loves God a lot. He was spared to the end. Their martyrdom for him didn't work. So, all the others, it kind of did work. So that's why we have the book of Revelation written by John, and you should look at 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the Gospel of John, because it's the same style of writing. And if you can find some of that style, even in the book of Acts, that's wonderful. But Peter's there too. And there's someone else who shows up on that mountain too at the very end, isn't there? It's Jesus, Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, and John, and someone else. Because when all those big guys get together, someone else has to be on the mountain too. So, praise God. We, We need God lots. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Andrew. That's good. We do need God. Every reason that we have needs to be Christ. And that our desire and our focus and everything that we are has to be focused on the Lord. Everything. You know, yeah, I'm going to read this out of here. It's pretty good. I didn't write it, but if you're not sold out to Him, talking about Jesus, you will not have fellowship with the things of heaven. The common bond is Jesus Christ. Angels will enjoy being around you if you are in love with Him. If you worship Him and live for Him, you have something in common with the angels and the saints, of course. Amen. I believe it. So if we're sold out to Him, we're going to do whatever thing He says for us to do, right? Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Just wondering if we've ever in history have we seen Ezekiel 34 play out where God replaces the sorry shepherds who have abused His flock with the one true shepherd when He says He's going to be the shepherd and feed His flock. I kind of think that when He talks about David, He's going to make David His shepherd there, His servant David. You know, when was David a shepherd in his life? It was when he was a man child. It was before he was a king, before he slew Goliath. You know, he was a shepherd when he was the man child, David. And when you look at the description in Ezekiel 34 of all the activities and the Lord's heart towards His sheep and the judgment on those other shepherds, those hirelings, they were, you know, eating off of the sheep. They were dressing themselves with the wool and eating the curds. And, you know, they were getting fat off the sheep. Meanwhile, the ones that were scattered all over the earth, on every mountain and high hill, no one searched or looked for them. And that is the culmination of when the true shepherd comes into being is he's going, you know, that's the activity I feel like the two witnesses and the body are going to be involved in. It's going to be searching for the lost sheep and binding their wounds and caring for them. You know, I see a, you know, what else would He have us here to do, you know, besides trying to bring this to a culmination where all the sheep are accounted for and the flock is whole, and not only whole, but cared for once in all of history, His sheep will actually be assembled and be shining. You know, their garments will be clean. They'll be something to behold. And I just see that it helps hone my mind towards what's really important when I see here in Ezekiel 34 what's important to the shepherd. That's all I got.
Amen. What is important to the shepherd? Jesus. Okay, anyone else? Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting excited more every day when David and I talk and I start and I and I start getting revelations about the Word of God, about where we are in Christ, who we are in Christ, and it's heartening to determine that it's only Christ that we serve, and we ought to be living like Him, acting like Him, and talking like Him. And that's pretty much our job right now, is to just surrender all to Him. And when we surrender all to Him, man, I tell you, can you imagine how much different your heart will be with the peace and the love and the joy that you're going to receive from Christ in you, rather than trying to seek that peace and that love and that joy from the world? How much of the world has really given us any of that? Fleeting moments. But those times with the Lord are just precious. The anointings of that the Lord, when all of you get together, when people get together and sing praises to the Lord from the heart and from the Spirit of God, it's just amazing what that glory is, how that glory just brings that love for everybody. I don't know, I'm doing a terrible job at explaining what what the glory is that I feel a lot of times in fellowship with believers. It's a heavenly thing. It's that love seems to explode in your heart, you know. Man, I'd like to have that peace, that joy. And you can only have peace and joy in your heart when you know that Christ is living and directing your life the whole time. He's got you. He's got you in His hands. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. May I just share something I came across in the Word? I went and got my Bible, and I think I was going to open up to what Andrew was talking about, but I opened up to this, and I just think it'd be edifying right now. It has to do a lot with, I think, especially verse 21, some of the things we've been talking about. Okay, so it's in Isaiah 30, and 18 through 22. I love these verses, but it's Isaiah 30, 18 to 22. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for Him. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When He hears it, He will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, He, your teacher, will no longer hide Himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. And you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver and your molten images plated with gold, and you will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. I think that's so encouraging.
What, did you have a question? Because I was had my mind.
No, I just wanted to read that because it's so encouraging.
Oh, okay.
I've had a lot to do with some of the things we're talking about, getting hold of the Lord, and how blessed are those who long for Him. And then He says what He will do.
Yeah.
He'll be gracious to us. And so that was really good.
Yeah. I was reading one time, I believe it was Saiju Sundar Singh. And I believe he was the one that did a lot of travels to Tibet, and he ran across this guy in a cave, and he sat down and talked with this guy, and he found out that the guy was 300 years old. Y'all ever heard this story? Yeah. And he was 300 years old, and he asked him, he said, well, what has the Lord got you doing? He said, the Lord's got me praying for the church. And that's what I've been doing. That's my job, is to just pray for the church. I pray for the church, and I've been doing that for 300 years now. And I read the other day about a lady in Malaysia that found out, I believe it was a lady, that found out, yeah, it was a lady, that found out that Jesus was the meat, and that's all she needed. And she just believed God and quit eating, hadn't eaten in 30 years. Yeah. Yeah, that's true story, they say. So, and another group, another man and a woman found out that, talked about communion, and, all they do is eat and drink communion every day. They don't eat anything else. They just have communion with the Lord and, do the little things of juice and bread. That's it. And that's what they live on. And they said, the lady that hadn't eaten in 30 years, I asked her, said, what, was she real skinny? Said, no, actually she was a little bit overweight. So, how many of you know God can do anything? Yeah, he can do anything. We can't put him in a box. I believe it. I believe it. I believe God can do that. If these people are on fire for the Lord, there ain't nothing that God can't do. The thing about it is we have to, the things that you want God to do for you, you have to do for him also. The things he wants you to do. And that's to, spend time with him every day. Just talk with him. Remember the story about the guy that the Lord asked him one day, came to him and asked him, he said, would you, I don't have any friends. I don't have anybody I can talk to. He said, everybody just wants something. I want something, want something. I just need somebody to talk to every now and then. Would you talk with me? He said, would you spend time with me? He said, yeah. Yeah, I'll do that. And this guy was busy. He was a preacher of some sort. And he said, yeah. So after the Lord, he said, okay. And he said, let me know when you want to meet me. And he did. He told him, he got to thinking. He said, golly, he said, I didn't realize how busy I was. Man, he said, okay, Lord, I'll tell you what. I'll meet you from... We'll talk between 2:30 and 3:30. I believe that was it. Something like that. In the morning. And maybe 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And he'd get up at 2, fix him a cup of tea, and go in there and sit down and start talking to Jesus. Now, Jesus, in the physical, he couldn't see. But he'd just sit there and talk to him and tell him about his day and just have a good conversation. And he said, after a while, he said, man, I look forward to that every day, is to go in there and talk with Jesus. And he said, after a year of doing that, one night about 2 o'clock in the morning, one morning about 2 o'clock, he said, I heard the outside gate slam, and I heard somebody walking up the steps to the door, and I heard somebody come in the door. And Jesus came in there in the flesh and sat down with him and told him, because you have been so faithful with me to allow me to be your friend, he said, from this point on, you'll be able to see me everywhere. And he did. He see him everywhere he went, you know. Isn't that something? That's, God just wants to spend time with him. Be his friend. Praise God, Lord, I'll be your friend. I'll be your friend. Or you gotta spend time with me. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Lord, I praise you and I glorify you for these wonderful stories about people that love you, Lord, and we love you too. Lord, place it in our hearts to want to converse with you all the time, not just for an hour of the night, but all the time. And place it in our hearts to take you wherever we go. But to ask you if you want to go, just like you're a good friend. And Lord, I ask and I pray, Father God, that you place it in our hearts to not only do that, but to ask you for direction and leadings in the things that we do during the day. And I praise you, Father, for the time that we can hear your voice clearly. I know that it's you. I know when the enemy tries to step in, that you give us great and bold discernment, Lord. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for each and everybody here that wants that relationship with you, Lord. I know I want to, and I'm going to do my best with your grace and your mercy upon me, Lord, to do that. Set aside some time during the day to just talk with you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for allowing us to have that time to do it. And I praise you and I glorify you for all the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. And set a watch before our lips to speak only as you would have us to speak, Lord. I know in the past I've been a big hiccup in my life, but I praise you, Father, that you're teaching us and your grace far exceeds anything that I could ever imagine. And I thank you for that too. Thank you, Lord, for leading and guiding each and every one of us, Father. Give us all good dreams tonight. And Lord, place it in our hearts to speak to you before we lay our head down on the bed give us those good dreams. Give us dreams that would instruct us to do the things that you want us to do. And dreams that we'd be able to remember when we awaken. And thank you for doing that, Lord. And Father, give us all, placing in all our hearts to carry a notebook with us too. Because when you speak to us, we need to put it all down so we won't forget. And I thank you for that, Father, because that's just a step of faith right there. That's a step of faith to do that. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for all the work you're doing in each and every one of us. Prepare us for the days ahead, Lord, to be a solid rock for the people around us when all of this stuff breaks loose. And we thank you for that, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request for me? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Not necessarily. I mean, my school in Haiti desperately needs help as usual, but I was asking the Lord regarding that Ezekiel 34, how would we know his sheep, these lost sheep that we're supposed to be looking for? And we had just bought two sheep yesterday or the day before. And when I picked them up to put them in their pen, you know, you walk away. When you handle sheep, you get lanolin to some extent. These aren't even wool sheep. They're a hair sheep, Katahdins. But still, I could smell that I'd hugged a sheep. And that's kind of what the Lord gave me was Galatians 6:10, I believe it is. What does it say? So then as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good towards all men and especially toward them that are of the household of faith. And it's like we can be nice and pick up and take care of the goats. But when we take care and do good to the sheep, our brethren, that aroma, that oil, that acknowledgement that we have handled a real sheep is going to make its way known to us. So I guess, you know, be good to all men, but be looking forward to contact with the sheep.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing all the goats and the sheep in front of us, Lord, that we love them all. All right, y'all be blessed. Yeah? We'll see y'all Thursday night, Lord willing.